Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome back to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio show. I'm the presiding minister, Angela McCarty, Chicago-based poet known as Sister Pucci, here to give you another Saturday. All right, everyone. I'm sorry about that delay. Sometimes we have technical difficulties, so we're going to start from the beginning. Welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio show. I am the presiding minister, Angela McCarty, Chicago-based poet known as Sister Pucci, here to bring you another afternoon of the Word of God, uplifting God, uplifting Christ, and just feeding our spiritual self. Of course, I'm really excited because Minister Hovacs is going to be on bringing the word to you for today, and her this week will be the first week that her show is actually going to be an hour long. I want to bring everyone's attention to the ministry's website, www.sistapucci.com. That's S-I-S-T-A-P-O-O-C-H-I-E. There you can find many, many resources to help enrich your spiritual life. But I got a couple of church announcements, and first, of course, I want to thank God and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for lifting my body up one more Saturday so I can come back to you. It's not easy sometimes, but, you know, they sustain me. It's by them I live, I breathe, I walk. All right, we're going to have a lot of word for the day, but the first thing I want to bring to everybody's attention is 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 7, verse. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Here at the Journey Home Outreach Ministry, we do pride ourselves on all the free spiritual services that we offer Christians from all around the world. We look forward to adding more online programs for you guys, but we need your help. So if God touches your heart, please go to the ministry's website and consider giving a tithe, donation, or a contribution. It can just be a dollar, whatever you have to give. If you can just go and give, and that way we can continue to spread the word of gospel of Christ around the world. Now, we are a 501(c) religious organization, which means all donations that are made are tax-deductible on your income taxes. Okay, going on to the next announcements for the church. Now, every Wednesday night, we have Bible study with Elder Faye, which is the message of the Bible. It's online Bible study between 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can always listen live, or you can listen later at the ministry's website. Well, we have something new coming up on March the 5th, 2012. I will be conducting a 31-session series about the stories of the Bible and backing it up with music, which should be interesting. And so that's going to start Monday, March the 5th, and it's going to be held every Monday for 31 weeks. You can go to the ministry's website and look for webinar, the story, and to register so you can participate in that. If you miss it, of course, it's going to be recorded, and you can listen to it later. All right, upcoming on the show, March the 3rd, interview with spoken word artist Hairline, March the 10th. There will be no show, just to let everybody know. But March the 17th, we're going to come back with Minister Kimberly Hovac to bring a powerful word of God. March the 24th, we have an interview with spoken word artist Andre Kellen. And March the 31st, Y4C, the youth are taking over the ministry again. Again, you can listen live or you can listen later. I encourage you just to listen. Okay, we got to get this show started, so we're going to get Minister Hovac on the line. Girl, I had so many church announcements today. It's like, woo!
That's wonderful. There's a lot going on out there. That's wonderful. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, welcome. Welcome, welcome. I've been looking
Thank
forward
you
to this,
so much.
Of course. Okay, this is our first time. We
so
have an
excited.
Hour.
I know.
Okay, good.
I know it. I'm so excited about it. I really am. Thank you so much. You know what? And as true to his word, God always just gives you and gives you and gives you. So I'm sure I have more than enough to say. More than enough to say. You know,
really?
This has been a very, yes, very much so. This has been a very interesting week for me. It's a very interesting time in my life. And, you know, I'm a person that, you know, I really learn through my experiences. You know, some people learn just through book knowledge, and that's good for them. Some can learn through other people. But, no, I'm a bit hard-headed, and I learn through experience. So, you know, and I'm a person that just likes to, you know, I just like to Google things and just see what's out there on the Internet because I find the Internet fascinating.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I decided – you know what, I just wanted to see what people were saying about the top 10 things that Christians should know. And so I Googled it, top 10 things Christians should know. And believe it or not, there's like pages and pages and pages of other folks' opinions on what the top 10 things that all Christians should know is.
Oh,
and as I was
goodness.
Reading it, I was like, oh, my gosh, if I were a new Christian – and I started looking at all this, I'd be all jacked up, right? And so, I mean, really. I mean, because, you know, some people are extremely pious and, you know, it's, you know, you need to understand the Bible, the church doctrine, and this, that, and the other. And then you have other people that are all way on left field, you know? And I like to think of myself as being a person that's kind of like somewhere in the middle. And so I figured that if everybody else could have their 10 things, I was going to have my 10 things, too.
Oh, no, so, you didn't. I am ready,
and
for,
so,
I'm ready
yeah,
for this. I'm ready for
yeah,
this.
Yeah, so today I want to talk about the 10 things that I believe every Christian really, really, really should know. There were some things that I found that were out there, and I said, yes, this is definitely something that people should know. And then there were some things that I did not see. And I said, now, how come they didn't say that? So I think that we're going to have a lot of fun with this. I'm hoping that it really promotes a lot of discussion and a lot of thought because I really don't think that people are often told what to believe. I don't think that they often think it through for themselves.
No.
You know,
our Christian walk is an experience. I'm sorry to cut you off. But it's an experience.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do more than being told what, you know, where to go. You have to actually walk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So I want to get to the 10 things, and then if we have time, I want to go ahead on air, answer the question that came through. I'll definitely email the person back as well, but if we have time, I'd like to go ahead and answer that because I think it's a question a lot of people might have.
Sounds good.
Okay.
You have the floor, my sister. Yes.
Okay, great. So the first thing that I think that all people should know, whether, you know, and this is for new Christians, old Christians, wherever you fall, you have to understand that the church is not a building. We, the people, are the church. Many people are not understanding that.
No, you're right. You're so right.
We are the church. And when, you know, you're reading things and they're talking about the church, they are not talking about the building. When Christ says he's coming back for his church, he's not coming back for a building and he's not coming back for a denomination. He's coming back for some folks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so people need to understand, you know, you have to really kind of look at the metaphors, you know, that your body is the temple. You know, we are the church, and you should therefore treat yourself with the same type of respect that you treat the church. You know, some people literally go to church and treat the church building and the things in it better than they treat other people.
Yes, they do.
You know?
Yes,
I mean,
do.
Think about
yes,
it.
Yes.
I mean, they really think about it. I remember when I was a young girl, a teenager, an early teen, and we were, you know, I was probably around 14, and we were outside playing. Excuse me. We were outside playing, and we had this gravel out by the church, and I had picked up some gravel, and so did some other people. And we were just kind of throwing it around. We're being silly, and one of the pebbles that I had in my hand fell on top of a Bible that was in somebody's hand,
mm-hmm.
and the kid said, "Ooh, I'm telling, you threw rocks on the Bible. God's going to get you, you know? And, even though within me I felt like something wasn't right, instantly I kind of got afraid, you know? Mm-hmm. And that really is the way people are. People do treat, you know, the things of the church, items, better than they treat people. You know, people will take care of that Bible in a way better than they take care of people. And it's just wrong. You know, you really need to take a look at that. If you are really taking care of items better than you treat people, I'm just going to say you need to look at that.
I'm going to touch and agree. With you on that. Okay, it's one God, one church, the body of Christ.
Yeah, we people are the church. And again, it's not a denomination. It is literally people who have come to accept Christ as Savior. I don't care how they worship him. They are still the church. They're still the church. And so people really they really need to understand that. So that's my number one thing. And these are not in any order, but that's the first one that I'm talking about. You know, we are the church.
We're the church. Okay.
Yes, okay. So the second thing is that salvation is a starting point, not a destination. Okay?
Ooh.
It is a process, all right? And I say that for so many reasons. You know, I have a friend of mine who's currently a minister. I watched him grow in the faith, you know, from just being saved to deacon and all that. And he always testified as a deacon that, you know, after he got saved, he was so disappointed because he thought that his life was going to change, that everything was going to change and, you know, he was going to be happy and everything was going to be all right. And he realized that that wasn't the case at all. And that really is, I think, the truth for many people, because the message that Christians are giving them is a bit convoluted. You know, we're not giving them the honest truth about the walk of the Christian. And so people think that because they get saved, that their whole life just shifts. It's as if your whole life itself is erased and the things that you have done in your life and the way that you have lived are no longer any consequence in the world. It's no consequence to God, but it's still a consequence in the world. And your life doesn't change from that moment, like instantaneously, although within you it does change. It's your spirit that changes. And then
Amen.
You are now empowered to live a different life. But salvation is a work.
It is
a process. And the scripture, you know, I do have a scripture to go with this one because I thought this was important. You know, and it's you know, popular. Philippians 2:12-13. It says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to God is his good purpose. You know, it is a work. Salvation, it saves you. You come into the fold. You now have rights that you didn't have. You have abilities now that you didn't have. It's a spiritual awareness now. You can see in the spirit. You could not see in the spirit before. And because of that, now you can live a real life. That's what salvation does. But the process of living a saved life, now that takes years.
And I want to
stress that I still don't know anyone who's got it right yet outside of Jesus.
Yeah, I was just sometimes you're just in my head. I was just sort of say that, you know, I always tell people, especially when I'm answering the prayer line, that Christ wants to catch you trying. He wouldn't have had to die if you had it, you know. If you had all the answers, he wouldn't have died. I mean, so he wants to catch you trying. Okay, go ahead, take the floor. This is good.
You know, and the thing that really gets me with that too is like, how many people have you met that said, "Oh, I'm going to come together when I get my life. I'm going to come to church when I get my life together."
Now,
doesn't make any sense.
No, that makes no sense
at all. That means they're not coming, or either they're coming when their life is so messed up that they just can't think of any other thing to do but go to church because
right.
it's the only thing
right.
they haven't done.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want it to get like that either. The Bible says, come as you are.
And a will bear all you have to.
However, you know, God mm-hmm. God sees absolutely everything that you do. He hears every word that comes out of your mouth and every word in your heart. I want people to understand this. There is nothing about you that is veiled or hidden or a surprise to Jesus. Nothing. So if you want to change your life, if you want to give your life, if you want to be saved, if you want to start walking in a different direction, do it now as you are. Don't try to get yourself together. He's done the work. Learn how to rely on him. But don't try
Amen.
To do it yourself because you can't do it in yourself. That's what grace is for.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
That's
what
mercy.
Grace is for.
Yeah.
That's right.
Grace and mercy.
And mercy.
And mercy, yes. That's what every day
absolutely.
We get new grace and mercy.
Absolutely.
Oh.
And another piece of that I want to touch on is about the kingdom of God. Because people think it's a place. The kingdom of God.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm sorry.
I know.
But
no, but it's true.
I'm agreeing.
Right.
Okay.
But you know they do. People think it's a place.
I
go into the kingdom.
I know. Here we go. Okay.
The kingdom of God lives within the spirit of the believers. It is a way of living, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is not a place that we are going. We're going to heaven. But when we say the kingdom of God, that is not what we're talking about.
No, we're not.
That's
not
what God is talking about. It is within you. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's important. You know, it's important for people to understand, especially because what happens is you know that we speak Christianese. And we say these things. And people do not know what we are talking about. And
exactly.
so they come to church not knowing what we're talking about, and they stay in church for years never knowing what we're talking about because they never realized that they didn't know what we were talking about to begin with.
You're absolutely right. And then you get so embarrassed you don't want to ask.
You don't want to ask anyone. Right. So you just keep going along, and you think that everyone else knows except you, but they don't know either. The people next to you don't know. The people in
Not
front
a clue.
Of you don't know. You know,
no.
There are some people that are teaching you that don't know. So you really
Absolutely.
Need to ask the questions. Do not be afraid to ask the questions. This is your salvation we're talking about. You know, do
Exactly.
not be afraid to ask the questions. If you don't know, you don't know. And I guarantee you half the room doesn't know either. You know, in school they always tell you there's no such thing as a dumb question because there's
Right.
always at least one other person, at least one other, that has the
at
same
least.
Question as you. And I would say that in the church it's more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's more than that.
Yeah, keep going because this is some solid meat. This is spiritual meat.
So when people start talking in that Christianese language to you, feel free to say, now, what do you mean by that? Feel
mm-hmm.
very comfortable. Because the other thing is that a lot of times people say things and they have a meaning, you know, that's different than other people. So ask them, what do you mean by that? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, number three, as a Christian, it is very important to understand two things. It's important to understand the history of the church, and it's important to understand the history of Jewish people, okay? And when I talk about the history, I'm not talking about just the Bible. I'm talking about the times and the settings that the stories from the Bible are coming from. And the reason why that is so important is that when you begin, first of all, you need to make this Bible come alive. And the way you make it come alive is to first understand the history of the time that you are reading about. So when you are doing Bible study, study. Right? Study. Find out, find out. Go ahead.
Elder Faye will agree with you. I'm sorry. Elder Faye would agree with you on that. She gives lots of scriptures, but she wants
mm-hmm.
you to read them. Read them. Okay?
Read them.
You got to work. Yeah, you
and know what was going on at that time. Do you know that I went all through high school, And I thought that Greek mythology was exactly that, just a myth. Like, I really did not understand that people really did worship like that. It was so foreign and out there to me. Like, I really just didn't get it. You know, I was an adult going to seminary when I finally put that thing together. Like, oh, wow, people were really believing that? Like, oh, they believed in Hercules and all that? Like, really? I really didn't know it. And it really opened my eyes to see that people were believing that during the time when Jesus was walking. You know, it helped me understand what happened when Paul had to stand up and say, you know what, I see that you have all these gods, but let me introduce you to the one true God.
Absolutely.
It's
Amen.
Important to understand. It also helps you understand the bravery, the boldness, the courage of the prophets, of the apostles, of Jesus. He was really so radical. And people do not understand that because they always talk about him being so meek and humble.
Right.
Yeah, he was meek and humble because he could have done a lot more. He could have not died on the cross the way he did. He could have spoke out against it. He could have spoke out against a lot of things. But believe me, the reason why I feel they talked about the fact that he was meek and humble during that time was because he was not.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about how he stood his guard, he stood up against the Pharisees. He stood up against the Sadducees. He stood up against all the religious zealots of his day. He went toe-to-toe with them, and he let them know, no, you are wrong, and what you're doing is wrong, and what you're teaching people is wrong. And he would do everything that they said not to do.
I mean, he was
a troublemaker.
Yeah, and that's he came to take their job away. So
absolutely.
He came to take their job away. So, you know, it was radical, and, you know, we have to remember that when you know who you are in Christ, you don't need validation.
Correct.
He didn't need validation. He knew he was the Son of God.
Absolutely.
So move on. Okay.
Absolutely. So it's very important to understand these things, you know, and it helps you also understand how relevant God has always been, you know, and he continues to be because he does not change. So when you begin to understand, first of all, you look at the Old Testament and you understand what was going on in a time and what it took for these people to follow God the way they did. It was not easy for them to do that. When they say that Abraham left his people, understand, he couldn't phone home and say hello. You know, he couldn't send them an email and say, hey, how you doing? When he left, he left.
It was like no
contact. And you have to understand, this is not the same as, you know, having people in North Carolina. This is not the same. It is not even the same as having people that live in the Middle East today, because you can still contact them. This was not that kind of situation. So when he left, he cut ties. He had to be sold out. He had to know that he knew that he knew that this is what God told him to do. He had to really believe it. So you have to understand
that.
Oh, absolutely. It's a completely different type of trust than what we have today. You know, even when you compare the kind of trust that a lot of us have in the United States versus third world countries, you know, because we need to believe God for a few dollars and they need to believe God for rain.
Yes. And they also need to believe God that, you know, if they're, because we have freedom of religion, and I don't think people realize the entire world does not have freedom of religion.
That is so true.
We get calls from all over the world, Pakistan, where they cannot go out yelling Jesus, Jesus, Jesus without fear in their life. But they boldly go to the world. They boldly do it. That's how much
they
love
them. And how many places they can't have a Bible.
Exactly.
They can't read Christian literature. They can't read it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all underground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the things that we take for granted here, you know, even when it comes to evangelists that travel to certain places, we take for granted that those doors are open and that they're able to go to these countries and travel like that. Because you know what? A lot of times their lives are in danger when they do so.
Yes.
And we really, we take it for granted because we can do and say whatever we want here in the States. You know, so, you know, we really need to check your history, you know, take a look, understand how radical it was. So because you, that's when you begin to understand who you are, to whom you belong, and what it is expected of you. You need to be radical. Some of us need to be a bit more radical than what we are. Some of us need to be more willing to step out. We need to trust a little bit more than what we're trusting. You know, we need to do a little bit more. There's a mandate out for us. You know, a lot of us have calls in our lives, but we are waiting for someone else to notice the call that God already told you about. Don't get me started on that. You know, like, don't even get me started on that.
I know,
you know
how you feel about that one. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, you know,
keep
like, we really just need to start taking a look and understanding the times that we are in and just take a step, take a half a step forward, do something. Do something different to get a different result. That's all I'm saying. Do something a little bit different. Understand from where you came, you know, from what kind of stock you're from, and stand up for something. Stand up for something. Okay? I'm going to move on. Number four, please understand that Christians are not perfect. Christian, you know, I get so tired of hearing people say, and they're supposed to be a Christian. Well, maybe they are. You know, what do you mean they're supposed to be? You know?
Yeah, they are.
Because you are a Christian doesn't mean that you do all things right or all things well. And I'm not trying to give people a pass and say that it's okay. I'm just saying that we're human.
Yes.
And Christians
are. And we were born at the same.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, Ms. Novak. You get 2 ministers together. We just preach it. we were born into sin.
That's right.
And a two-year-old would lie to you.
Just like everybody else. You know, and I just think that it's, you know, it's really sad. I get so sick of hearing people say, and they're supposed to be Christians. And the Christians next to them are saying, yeah, you know. Don't say, yeah, you know. Don't agree with that. You know, you have to hold your brother or sister up. You don't, and you can't allow people to have these false ideologies about who we are. Being a Christian means you believe that Jesus is the Savior. That's what it means. And everything else, you are walking it out and learning it out. Some things you know and some things you don't know. Some things you got it and you don't have an issue with it. And some things you just don't have it yet. You're getting there.
Man.
And that's it. That's it. And I think it's so important for us to stop putting this weight on people that does not belong there. Learning how to walk this walk of Christianity is hard enough. Especially because as Christians, there are so many different denominations and so many different ways of existing as a Christian that we're taught in the various churches and religious institutions that we are a part of, that it's not the same for everyone. What we do is not the same. And that's why people struggle with our faith. You know, if you are a Muslim, as you belong to this particular sect of Muslim, you're going to do the same thing as everyone else around the world. If you are Jehovah's Witness, same thing. You're going to do the same thing with everyone else around the world. But with Christians, there are so many different Christian denominations.
Yeah.
We don't all practice our Christian faith the same. And that confuses people.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
It confuses people. So I just think that we need to take a step back and just recognize that Christians are not perfect people, but we do have a perfect message, and we do have a perfect God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We do. We
Hallelujah.
Have a perfect message. We have a perfect God.
Yes.
But we ourselves
well
may
said.
Not be perfect. Okay.
Well said. Well said. Okay.
And with that being said, my number five, and this is something that, you know, a lot of people are going to probably shudder in their bones when I say it, but I'm going to say it because I believe it's true. Please understand, you are not going to hell because you break a commandment. Okay? you're not going to hell.
Yeah.
The Bible says the wages of sin is death, not the wages of sin is hell.
No, no. And when they talk about death, they're talking about your spiritual life.
Yes.
It kills you spiritually.
It kills your spirit. It kills your spirit. Right?
Yeah.
Being saved, accepting Jesus, stops you from going to hell.
That's salvation, and it's free.
I mean, and I hate, you know, I know that it is a shock to many people out there. I know that it is, because a lot of people think that, you know, they'll say you have to accept Jesus, and then they say you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to do this. No, that has nothing to do with you going to heaven or hell. That's a different walk. Now you're talking about the saving grace of your life. You're talking about obedience. And a lot of times people are talking about doing something that's going to get you a blessing. They forget that God is a blessing. He's blessing us anyway. And the more in line we walk with him, the more mature we become, and therefore the more ready we are to receive the greater blessings in our lives. It's not a matter of whether or not he's blessing us or not. It's a matter of whether or not we are receiving it or not.
Amen. 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 And I love God because he said, you know, I reign on the just and unjust. I'll bless anybody I want to. I'll bless anyone I want to. Okay. Okay. Ooh,
you know, and the thing is, you know, you have to remember, like, you know, there are so many different spiritual laws out there that, you know, we are walking in them, moving in them, operating in them, even when we don't even know how to identify them. That's the reason why, whether you are saved, unsaved, right, wrong, whatever the case might be, you're going to get blessed if you do the right thing. If you walk into it, you walk into it. That's how God is.
It's so simple.
It's just very simple. You know, it's kind of like if it's raining outside and you go outside, you're going to get wet. You know what I'm saying? It really works that way. It works that way. What doesn't work that way is salvation. There's only one way in salvation. You either accept Jesus as Lord or you don't.
Yes. You trust. Yes, that's it. That's it.
You know, but that has nothing to do with blessings in the world. God is throwing them out there.
No, yeah.
Two different things.
It's open your spiritual eye so you may see, and open your spiritual ear so you may hear. Now,
so
if you follow in Bible study, you know what I'm talking about. All the faith keeps talking about that. You got to open those two things or you're going to miss a whole lot. We can be talking for days, but if you don't, you know, you just won't understand until you open your ears and your eyes spiritually to see what the truth is.
And for those people who are listening who feel that isn't fair. Because, you know, there's going to be people that feel, well, that's not fair. I'm a Christian. You know, I've done this. I've done that. First of all, you haven't done anything to cause you to deserve the favor and blessings that God has. But look at it from this standpoint. God is love, and God wants to save everybody. Why would he you know, for some people, you're going to have to prove yourself before they walk onto your side. God understands that we're human. Why would he want to close the door and be hard-hearted towards the people that he's trying to pull into himself?
Exactly.
That just doesn't make any sense.
No, it's not. That's not the God that we serve.
No, not at all.
He sent his
That's
son.
Right.
I have to, you know, I'm chiming in on this one. He sent his son just so we can be reconciled with him.
That's right.
That's love. That's love.
That's right.
Deep love. Okay.
And the Bible says, so that whosoever, not just so for you, but whosoever, you know, he did it for whomever. It doesn't matter who you are. It does not matter what you've done. It doesn't matter from where you come from. He did it for us all, every single one of us. He did it for us all. So, you know, please, people are not going to go to hell because they broke a commandment. It is about did you accept the relationship. And with that being said, for those of us who are Christians, please keep in mind that you are the greatest witness to Christianity to an unbeliever. And it's not when you're inside the building of the church. It's when you're outside the church and you're having your regular conversations and people are watching how you interact with people and your family, and they're watching the way you live. And the question is your manner of living attractive to the outside world? Do they want to look at you and say, why are you, you know, there's something different about you. What is going on with you?
That?
You know,
what is that?
You know?
What is that?
I remember when I was working last year, my assistant one day just looked at me and said, are you always so pleasant? I was actually kind of surprised.
Yeah.
You know, because I was just being me. I didn't even notice that. You know? And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, you're so pleasant all of the time.
It's the light. This little light of mine, I can't
think. Right.
I'm going to let it shine.
That's right.
It's the light within you. His name is Jesus. Let him shine through you.
Right.
He said, you will know if they're from me by the things that they do.
Right.
You'll know. Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
You're on roll. Okay.
Okay.
This was a hard one.
All right, so the next one, since we were talking about heaven and hell, right, I want to say to people, and we touched on this the last time I was on, please stop worrying about Satan, because Jesus really has taken care of him. Really, you are a greater enemy to yourself than Satan could ever be to you.
Amen.
Here is why I say that. Remember when I was on last time, I said, you know, as a man thinketh, so is he.
Yes.
And I said, your thoughts turn into your actions, and your actions create your life.
Amen.
All right? You bring about what you think about. And science proves that you hear more of what you say than what anyone else says. And when you speak, it reverberates through every cell in your body. And your mind believes what you say. Okay? It believes what you say. So when you say, I'm hopeless, I'm always broke, I'm stupid, I never have any good luck, you know, when you say that, your whole being believes it. And that makes you more powerful than any outside force.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Okay? So you really need to really stop worrying about the outside forces more than the inside. Because if you build up your spirit man, there's not going to be much that Satan can do with you anyway other than run away.
He's so afraid of Jesus. People need to realize that. He is terrified.
Right. He is.
You know, start calling. I tell people, people might think you're crazy, but when, you know, you're going through something or someone's trying to hurt you, just start calling, Jesus, Jesus,
right.
Son of David, Jesus, come,
that's
Jesus,
right.
I need you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And guess what? They will flee. They will flee. Devil flees. Okay.
I don't know if I ever told this on the air or not, but my mother and I were in New York one day. We had just gotten off the train, and this reminds me. I use this a lot because it's so to me the way Jesus works with us. There was a man just walking down the street. He was walking towards the taxis, and there was a homeless man, a little bit deranged in his head, walking behind him, and the man kept reaching out, trying to grab him, and kept missing him. Every time he tried to grab him, the man took one more step forward. That man never knew that that man was behind him trying to get him.
Mm.
And he got into his taxi, and he drove away. And that man stood there disgusted because he couldn't get at him. The man never even knew that that was going on behind him. And that is what it is like in the spirit. When you build up your spirit man, Satan can try all he wants, but he can't touch you.
He can't.
You know, he can't. He can't. You have to build up your spirit. Just build up your spirit. And you build that up by reading the Word and being in relationship with God and learning, you know, learning what the Word says, what your faith believes about the walk that you should be having. Being obedient to what you believe that God is saying to you. You know, that's how you do it. You know, there's no easy way. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people say, well, what's the easy way? What's the fastest way? I don't know about the easiest or fastest way. I just know that there's only one way, preset by preset.
There's only one way. Yeah, one way.
You know,
one way.
You know,
he said, through
me. Word,
through
work
me.
That word.
Yes, work the word. That's the word.
You know,
Jesus would
really
answer everything.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Jesus would answer everything. It is written. Read your Bible. That's your manual. That is your manual
right.
of life.
That's right.
Basic
That's
instruction
right.
before leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E.
That's right.
Read it. Okay. You take your time. Go ahead. What number are we on?
Israel Houghton has a song, No Limits. And he says, say what you heard so that you can see what you said.
Oh.
Very, very powerful. He says, say what you heard so that you can see what you said. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. The Bible, I mean, in Genesis, God spoke, things happen. We are built in the same way as God. We speak, things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Because what you begin to say is what you're thinking on. Your mind believes that it is true, and it manifests itself in the natural. I am just so happy that God did not make us in a way so that the moment we say something, it happens.
That scared me. That scared me.
Could
you
imagine?
So glad. That scared me. No. I love forgiveness and repentance and all
I'm
that
so
stuff.
I'm so glad there's a delay.
Yes, I am too.
You know, I'm
because
so glad that there's a delay.
Minister or not, hey. I'm human.
That's right. That's right. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're at number seven. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven, I'm going to say this. Be mindful of what activity is around you. And when I say that, I mean, I'll give myself as an example. I've been going through a growth period. And so every now and then, you know, that's a very tough time for me because I recognize that I'm not living in the level that God has me in. So that means I need to take a look around myself and I need to find out, okay, so what am I not doing right? You know, what's wrong?
Right.
And so I started paying attention to what kind of things are, you know, passing through my head all day, you know, especially now that I'm working from home, you know, that's another whole thing in itself. You know, you don't have all the other people and all the other outside influences. I'm here by myself during the day. So it's like, you know, if I want background noise, I'll turn the TV on. And it's like, oh, don't do that. Because when you start thinking about what's on TV, even though you think that you're blocking it out, it's still going in. Well,
yes,
I recognized that I really, you know, I love any type of detective stuff, cop shows, all that stuff. So
Law
I love Law and Order, the
Closer,
Columbo, you know, CSI, NCIS, you know, Resilient Isles, all of them. I love them, right?
Yes.
But are they not documented under drama?
Everyone, here's the inside joke. Make sure you listen to last month's episode, and you'll understand why we're laughing about drama.
Oh, my goodness. They are listed under drama and suspense. So, you know, the thing that I had to realize was, I love it, yeah, it's a show, yeah, it's not real, no, but you know what? It's on my mind all the time. So, you know, there's a, I don't know if they have it out where you are, there's a new cable network called Clue. And so the advertisements, they don't have it? Okay, well, the advertisements for Clue show people who are being their own private detectives in their life. And so the whole premise is you love detective movies, you'll love our network. But what's happening is that people are being detectives in their own lives with the people that they love. And it's like everybody is always up to something. So there's like a lack of trust. You know, they don't believe people are lying to them. You know, all this stuff is happening. Well, you know what? When you focus, when you are watching a particular thing all the time, you become desensitized to it. And so it becomes normal for you. You know, I could not watch Sopranos. Frank loves The Sopranos. I couldn't watch it because it was too violent for me. Certain scenes would just really disturb me. There are a lot of people that could watch that with no problem. I find a problem with that, right?
Right.
Well, the
same
type of thing with watching all these detective shows, because murder becomes the norm to you. Because somebody got killed in all of them.
Yeah, it starts out with someone being killed. Yeah, you're right.
You know, it starts out with somebody being killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it starts out with someone being killed. I know. It starts out, you know, then all this suspicion, you know, all this underhanded stuff. But then what happens? You go out and then you start thinking about people. You know, well, why are they following me so closely? I just turned down this aisle. They turned down this aisle, too. You get on the elevator, you're like, well, I'm not going to press the right button because I don't want them to know where I'm going.
You know? Oh, you are paralyzed. Oh, you are right. Oh, my goodness.
But it's true. Like, you know, you model your life according to the things that you have going in your head. And so I had to put myself on a fast. And, you know, it's amazing how I have watched myself, my very being, changed because I put myself on a fast and I didn't allow myself to watch 3 hours worth of whatever. You know, I just didn't allow it. You know, I didn't have those days where I could veg out for half the day just watching my favorite show because my favorite show was about suspense, drama, and murder. And it just shouldn't
be.
So I'm saying you really have to be careful about what goes into your ear gate, your eyes, your eye gate, right? You really have to watch that, because when you find that your mind starts turning into that direction and you start thinking that way, you have to start thinking, is this a good thing or is it a bad thing? Now, there's going to be a lot of people that think that I'm a little bit extreme. And you know what? Maybe you can watch that and it does not bother you at all. What I would say is, don't watch it for a few days and see if there's a difference for you. Because I noticed that I didn't watch it for a while, and when I went back to watch it, I had to turn a channel sometimes. Because especially when you're watching CSI or NCIS, they're pretty graphic.
They're very graphic.
They're pretty graphic.
In criminal mind.
Oh, yeah. They're really graphic. Yeah. And you know what?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not the kind of stuff that we should see on a regular basis in our everyday lives.
No.
That's not what God intended. So, I just say be very careful, because it's one of those things that you wouldn't ordinarily think about. And then when you wonder, when you close your eyes at night and why, you know, you're not at peace, or, you know, why you have these certain dreams, or, you know, why you're so suspicious of this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
It could very well be because you have conditioned your mind that way.
Amen.
So be careful about all that stuff. Okay.
Okay,
I'm going to leave that one alone.
Well, you got me. I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, I got a checklist going on, okay, of myself.
I have three more here. So number
Go
eight
ahead.
Is be able to recognize an idol. Okay. This is going to be a hard one for some folks to swallow. To idolize is to regard with blind admiration, adoration, or devotion, right? When you admire someone, it means you're giving them your approval. Adoration is when you pay honor to someone. Devotion is when you have a profound dedication towards someone. I'm going to say this, and I'm just going to put it out there. Many people have made an idol out of their pastors.
Hallelujah. I am so glad you said that. Say it again.
Many people have made an idol out of their pastors.
Okay.
And here's what I mean. When you make an idol out of a person, they can't do any wrong by you. No matter what they say, they are right. You will do whatever it is that they ask of you. I am not going to say that I believe that all pastors use this to their advantage, but I do know that perfect power corrupts people totally.
Absolutely.
And if
you know,
go ahead.
No, I just, you know, because I run into that also. You know, we have to be careful when we are ministers or pastors that we don't do Jesus' job.
That's right.
I mean, we can't take the place of we can't be their gods. You know, so
correct.
I got to direct you back to the person who can actually do something to you. So I have to take you back to Jesus. Go
That's
to Jesus.
Right. That's
okay.
Right.
Go ahead.
You know,
amen.
We make idols out of them, and you know, That's challenging for many reasons. I mean, one of the most obvious is, you know, when they fall or, you know, when they do something that's not right or whatever, if you do know, if you do accept that they did, it causes the person to lose their faith. So that,
yeah.
You know, that's like one of the biggest reasons. But the other reason is that when they're not challenged, when you don't, I'm not saying fight them, I'm not saying that, but when they're not challenged, when they're not questioned, when you don't question everything that you know, things that you're being told, especially when the Holy Spirit is in your mind and you say, I'm not so sure about that. But you are listening to them doing what they say anyway and not doing your own personal prayer and study about what, you know, what is not right with that. They go unchecked. You know, they go unchecked. And you move into a direction that God didn't intend for you. And ultimately, you can end up hurt, and especially you can end up with a church hurt. And a church hurt is a hurtful thing. You know, a lot of people do not recover from being hurt because of the church. And you have to know how to guard your heart. You know, the Holy Spirit will guide you. And there are many people that are sitting in many churches right now, and they know for themselves that the Spirit has said move. They know for themselves that there are things that they're involved in the church that the, you know, pastor may have asked them, you know, would you be interested? He didn't even say, you know, I want you to do this. He just said, would you be interested? And you just fell all over yourself to say yes. And you know you are not a bit more interested. You're not gifted. You're not anointed for it. The Holy Spirit has even warned you and cautioned you, but you don't want to say no because the pastor has asked you. Well, you know what? Shame on you. You know, we really need to be careful about making an idol. And I say this with caution because there is a thin line between being respectful and making an idol of someone. I would never tell someone that I feel that they should argue and fight, you know, call out their pastors. Never any of that, ever.
You know, I have to chime in. You know, if you're a pastor, you know, of a congregation, whether it's online or wherever you might be, you should actually have a revolving door because the Bible says by now you all should be teachers. So my job is to teach you how to stand on your own, not to continue to be dependent on me, but how to stand on your own and
that
how to go to Christ for everything that you need. That's the role of a leader, of a spiritual leader. Is to help them find their way back to Jesus. Okay,
that's correct.
And
if you find your, and I'm going to give to people two cautions about churches, okay? And I it's because I think that it's important for you to belong to the right church for you. But if you belong to a church where the pastor does not feel he has to ever explain himself or that he is never to be questioned, I would get out of there. I would question that because even God says, you know, if we can question God, why can't we question them? And again, I'm not talking about being disrespectful.
Questioning
is not
talking
disrespectful.
About leading. Yes. Questioning.
Right?
I would tell everyone, read your, even the things that I say, read your Bible and ask for wisdom and ask for understanding of what is being said to you. That way, Christ will show you if I'm right and whether you should continue to listen to me. So go right ahead.
So, you know, if you're questioning, you're saying, you know, hey, you know what, can you explain X, Y, and Z to me because I really don't understand, there really shouldn't be an issue with them explaining that to you. Okay. And then the other thing that I would begin to question about a church is if you've belonged to a church for a particular period of time, a year or so, and you do not see people growing spiritually, growing, you know, even financially with things that are tangible, something's wrong.
Okay.
Because the word should prosper you. The word should prosper you. So if you do not see people growing spiritually, if you don't see people, if you see people are, you know, doing the things that your faith says that you should do, tithing, seeding, studying, you know, all that, and they are not gaining from it, something is wrong. And I would caution you to take a look at that, because the word should always prosper you.
Okay, Minister Hovak, we actually have a call on the line. I'm going to interrupt you here and see what the caller has to say, okay?
Okay, sure.
All right, 508-762, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hi, hello?
How are you,
Hi. My
sister? Is this my girlfriend, Sister Poochie?
Yes, this is. And this is Cheryl. Did you have a question for the minister?
I do.
Or are you just...
No, I called her. I wanted to ask her a question. I was listening to her speak about churches, and I just wanted to say that I have a wonderful church. I've been attending it for 11 years. We have grown spiritually it's amazing. I am going through a divorce from abuse after so many years of abuse. For 10 years, I had left notes to my pastor. I spoke with him. He did, in the beginning, not understand how upsetting and how much it was. He really didn't, I don't think he really grasped how bad it was. And I continued to see him, and then I avoided seeing him because I didn't want to admit it. And he then, it got pretty bad in the last year and a half, and I started leaving Dear God notes around my church. And we had a meeting with my pastor and our elders. A very supportive church. They grow. We have gone from 25 people to 300 people in the last, I don't know how long, not too long.
You belong to a good church.
I belong to a wonderful church, and I just want to say that exactly what she's saying is amazingly so, that if you don't watch your pastor able to touch people and people grow spiritually, mission-wise, financial-wise, the whole shebang, then there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I do belong to the church.
Okay. Minister Hovak, did you have a comment on that?
No, your name is Cheryl. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yes.
And it's important for people to call in, you know, with your thoughts and comments. What you are saying is 100% true of what should happen. A church should grow. A church should have people that are growing spiritually, and they should also receive material blessings as well, because they are walking in the Word, and the Word prospers you. So when you see that happening, you know that it's a good place to be.
Yes.
When that's not happening, there is something wrong. And I'm not saying necessarily that you need to run away. I'm saying find out what's going on.
Absolutely.
Be aware. Be aware, because if you are a part of a church where that's not happening, that's what's going to happen to you.
Well, I want to just I'm saying this because if there are people listening that are going through abuse and don't know where to turn, my suggestion is to belong to a church that you know is a healthy church that will be there for you as a church family. They will help you. It's just amazing what I've had happen to me through the Word of God and people just being spoken to. So my thing is run to the nearest church and you know, love God. He is there for you. He's our mighty Savior. I don't know what I would have done without him and my church and my friends like Sister Poochie.
Amen.
So
okay.
I had to just and comment on that. So I hope somebody hears this and knows to go to any church, because a good church is also, it doesn't matter what church you go to, it's about the Word of God and the gospel.
And the people who, the gospel and what's being taught.
Absolutely.
That you can Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Cheryl,
living.
For calling in.
Yes, thank
it's a living thing. Thank you.
It
all
is.
Right.
Amen. Thank you. God bless
all
you
right.
both. Thank you so
bless
much
you.
For hearing me. Thank you.
Okay. No problem. Call in anytime. All right. Okay, Minister Hovak.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. I know. Don't worry about the time. Just keep going on the way you're doing. Do
okay,
what you do.
So I just have two more. Number
okay.
nine, this is very important. Understand your church doctrine. A lot of people,
absolutely.
I mean, really, a lot of people join churches, but they do not understand the organization that they're joining into. And so you have people that might have, you know, gone to a Baptist church as a child, and then now they join a Methodist church, or they go to, you know, a Seventh-day Adventist church, or, you know, like, and their doctrines are all different. It is very important for you to understand the doctrine of the church. And if the church does not have a new members class that teaches that, you need to get with one of the members, you know, not one of the members, one of the deacons, one of the ministers, the pastor, someone there needs
yes.
to go over what they believe. I mean, you need to at least read their statement of belief, you know.
Your statement of faith.
At least read that, you know.
Yeah,
at
you
least
have to
read
one.
That. Mm-hmm.
If they don't
you have
one,
to know, because if you don't believe what they're saying they stand for, it's not the church for you to belong to. And you really
exactly.
should have that information before you join. See, let me tell you, there was one church that I belonged to, and they, you know, the one thing that he did that I thought was fantastic, he did many things that were fantastic, but one of the things that he would do that was fantastic is that when he opened the doors of the church, he didn't make one call. He made several. One call was to accept Christ as Savior. Another one, separately, was to join that church. You see, a lot of people do one step, just one. You know, come on down here and accept Jesus as Savior, join our church. No. No, they're two different acts, really. And it
right.
shouldn't be
right.
that, you know, you should be able to go to any church and accept Jesus as Savior. But whether
I want to put
that church is another thing.
Right. Yes. And if, for those who are interested, you can always go to our ministry website, and there's a statement of faith as well as our mission statement. They're available for you to read, so you know exactly what we are all about. If you're new
yeah.
listening, it's definitely there. www.sisterpucci.com. Okay.
Great. So that's
right.
vital. Make sure that you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing. Because this is really what does it all, is that you need to be willing to be a person that changes. You have to be a person that is willing to grow, to change, to alter your life. And I don't say that lightly, because a lot of people are not really willing to change. A lot of people are in the box and want to stay in their box, and they think that everyone else should conform their life, their belief, their everything around the box that they are in. And so they're in search of a faith that they can mold around the box that they're in. That's not going to work. You know, if you are going to be a person that's going to walk as a Christian, you have to be willing to jump outside of your box, and you need to be willing to also invite God in there to
mm-hmm.
rearrange everything, and you need to be willing to change. You have, because
thanks.
What happens when you get to know who you are in Christ, you begin to meet the you that God created instead of the you that you decided to become.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
So those are my 10 things. 10 things that I think that
okay.
every Christian should know.
Absolutely. Well said. It has been a wonderful lesson. And if you don't mind, can you type those 10 things out so I can
Absolutely.
Post them at the website?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I definitely will.
Yes. Okay, definitely do that. We're running a little out of time, so I know there was a question that one of our listeners had, and I want you to answer that, because if one had it, somebody else had it. So take your time
okay.
and go ahead and answer that question. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Answer that question.
The caller said, what is walking with God like? And – he was saying that there was a scripture that he had heard several times in 24 hours. And from what it seemed to me that the scripture he heard was, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. And so I just want to say to people that when I talk about walking with God, I am talking about walking in a manner where you are in relationship with him. That means that you are communicating, not just you speaking, not just you praying, but you actually hearing back from God, you meditating, you reading his word, beginning to know through his word and through the people that you are in, you know, in relationship with, God's character. You know, you're beginning to understand what he will do and what he would say okay to and what he wouldn't, so that you could recognize him if he were on the street. You know, I'm talking about when you are walking with God, you are making decisions based on what you believe he's telling you, based on what you believe the word is telling you. And that's how you can stay in perfect peace. That's what the scripture is talking about. Your mind is consistently on God, and so therefore you are doing the things that you believe that he would want you to do, and therefore you can have peace. See, when you are walking in sin, you can't have peace with that, because you have to think about who you have to hide something from, or who you're lying to, or who, you know, like sin, even when you are in a sin that you feel is pleasurable for the moment, you know it's for the moment. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You know it's for
yeah,
the moment.
Absolutely.
And there are people that you want to make sure don't know that you're in it. So there's always something that's hidden or something that's veiled. But when you are walking in Christ, there's no need for any of that. You don't have to remember anything like, you know, like, oh, who did I say this to? Or because it, you're not living that kind of life. It's a clean life. You know, that's really the only way I can really describe it to people. It is just a very wholesome, clean life, where you don't have to worry about looking over your shoulder. You don't have to worry about, you know, you're not doing anything underhanded and in the dark.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Minister Hovak, thank you so much for that powerful teaching today.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, too. I, you know, I hooped and hollered with you. You got my spirit just to move it. And everybody, you're listening to this live, definitely tell someone about it and have them chime in. If you have any questions for Minister Hovak about anything she has said, go to the ministry's website, www.sistapoochie.com, S-I-S-T-A-P-O-O-C-H-I-E. She has her own page there. You can listen to her past shows, as well as you can contact her to clarify any points that she has made. My sister, bless you so much.
Bless you as well.
For what you did. Okay, and don't forget to send me those 10 things so I can put them up so everyone knows.
Okay.
All right. So we will see you then at the Hovak March the 17th. March the 17th. Again, we're going to come back with a powerful word of God from Minister Hovak. Okay.
All right.
You have
Thank
a blessing.
You. Bless
okay.
you.
Okay. Bye bye. Bless you too. Bye bye. All right, that really got my juices just going, and I just love the teachings that we just had. But now we're going to roll over to some praise and worship, and the first person up on the mic is Amos featuring Kathleen Kendrick with a backup as with Jesus, Can You Help Me Now?
I remember when I was
All right, that was Amos featuring Catherine Kendrick on backup. Jesus, Can You Help Me? If you want to contact them, you can contact them at the ministry's email address, which is sisterpucci@sisterpucci.com. Next up on the mic is Cooley the Nazareth with Zion. His Twitter account is www.twitter.com/CooleyTheNazareth. You can also go to www.sisterpucci.com, SisterPoochie.com, and there's a list of everyone who's being played with their correct spelling and also several contact links for you to reach them. Next up on the mic is G86 featuring Kelly Kell with At the Cross.
All satisfaction found in you, not a shopping mall, not a basketball. I know I've been called to give you glorious mandatory. I stand in awe of your presence, such a blessing that in love I fall with who you are, bright and morning star. I was dead but resurrected in your open arms. I am just a man, you're the living God. I am under grace and not under law. give you all of me, cause on the cross you gave it all. You redeemed my soul, washed away my sin. Lord, you made me whole, so for you I live. Deserving of your sovereign grace. Through the good and bad times, I will seek your face. You were always on time, you were never late. You were full of love, you alone are great. When temptation comes to you, I run you my escape. This a marathon I'm on, not a drag race. So on you I wait, laying down my life. Lord, I need you, and to please you is my appetite. You're my guiding light, I'm a sacrifice. Holy, holy, help me every day to live right. When the weak is strong, you become my sight. You will be done in your perfect might.
I will live.
And brothers and sisters, that's all we have to do is lay it at the cross. That was G86 featuring Cali Cals. And if you want to contact him, you can go to his website at www.g-86.com. And that actually is a free download of that song if you really like it. All right, next up on the mic is our resident DJ, DJ Frankie Vibe. And I want to tell you a little bit about him. On every Sunday, he mixes from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.959.com. And then from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday, he spins at www.mysoulwetrust.com. Every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, he has the House of Inspiration show. Kimberly Hovack, Minister Kimberly Hovack, is on the first and the third Tuesday. And you can go to www.themastersgroove.com and go out and please support all of our artists and definitely support our resident DJ. Everyone, get up on your feet. It's time to praise the Lord. Here's the dance break from the week by DJ Frankie Vibe.
Since then I've been blessed. And 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 since then I've been blessed.
now Sister Poochie's Gospel House Mix with DJ Frankie Vaughn.
I'm walking.
your heart pumping, and you sent some beautiful praises up to our the great I Am and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't forget to go out and support Frankie as he this is a small example of what he does. He spends for hours on Sunday and on Tuesday. So please support him. Next up on the mic is the anointed poet, Robert Sales, with Nothing.
You've traveled the world, spoken to millions, acted in major films and accumulated billions. What have you done for God? You've purchased apartment complexes and homes. Some you've rented, some you've sold. You've built up the wealth of men from very young to very old. But what have you done for God? What have you done for God? You've purchased designer clothes, bought many fancy and expensive cars. You've built up poor neighborhoods with liquor stores and bars. What have you done for God?
What have you done for God?
What about this? You've built a huge sanctuary where folks can worship with all the latest amenities. You know, with Carrara marble floors and fine silk curtains and solid oak moldings from extremity to extremity. What have you done for God? See, riches and fame are nice. Your bank account full of money and your hands all covered with ice. Ain't nothing wrong with being able to pay the bills every month, being able to buy other than no frills when you shop. You see, because there's unlimited thrills and very little chills when there's always something there when you go to reach your hand in the till. When you don't do it for God, your till in heaven will always be. There'll be no gold in your mansion, no pearly gates, because you decided to serve something other than God, your passion. And when you get to heaven, you'll ask the Lord, Lord, didn't I lay hands on the sick and heal the sick for you? And Lord, didn't I cast out demons for you? And you know what Jesus will tell you? He'll say, go away from me, evildoer, for it is only evil.
That was Nothing by the anointed poet Robert Sales. If you want to reach him, you can go to his website, www.robertsalesonline.com, and you can contact him there. Next up on the mic is Reclaiming My Land by Roslyn. All right, that was Reclaiming My Land by Rosalind. If you want to reach her, you can go to her website at www.rosalindpmgartist.com. All right, next up on the mic by special request is Cooley the Nazarite with Awesome.
Awesome, awesome, shit, awesome, 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 awesome. Yeah, my God is awesome. He took the loss upon that cross, no matter what they cost him. Awesome, awesome, my God is awesome, awesome, awesome. My God is awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, my God is awesome. He took the loss upon that cross, no matter what they cost him. Awesome, awesome. My God is awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, my God is awesome. Awesome. Yeah, my God is awesome.
Yeah.
He the one who run this. I ain't talking Allen Ross. He paid the price upon that cross. His life is what they cost him. He rose up 3 days later as if he was playing possum. Dirty clothes lost him. Dirty mouths lost him. Dirty spirits lost him. Now tell me that ain't awesome. He calmed the waters, though the waves tossed him. Jesus washed the feet of his feet, even the one who double crossed him. No basketball, this altar car. Cause God has been so good to y'all, me, we, 24 hours every day of the week. His eyes on the prize, homie, he don't ever sleep. Full of glory, but he don't need to eat. The Lord is my shepherd and I am his sheep. He is my strength, so I'm never feeling weak. A-W-E-S-O-M-E. It's the Lord of all lords and the King of kings. Like my boy S-U-B-T-L-E. It's the fear of the Lord that got the best of me. Cause he's awesome, awesome. Yeah, my God is awesome. He took the loss upon that cross, no matter what they cost him. Awesome, awesome. My God is awesome, awesome, awesome. My God is awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, my God is awesome. He took the loss upon that cross, no matter what they cost him. Awesome, awesome. My God is awesome, awesome. Yeah, my God is awesome.
Ain't my Savior strong?
No doubt.
Ain't he on the throne?
Yeah, yeah.
Right in every wrong, so I'm banging Christ in every song. He done brought me a long way from walking the wrong way. My life was on replay, like a sorry DJ. I press play and straightway I fell down on my face because of my cross's weight. But I was saved by my Father's grace. My God is awesome, that I can say. Consider giving him your life today. From heaven came to conquer the grave and watch our love by sins away. So we could say our debt was paid. Jesus broke down that barricade. A way was made by the truth of the light. Cause we were hiding in the shade. So I give my all, no views of gray, no views of green. So that means no Mary J. But my God way better anyway, so it's okay. A-W-E-S-O-M-E. It's the Lord who broke the chains of the enemy. For all eternity, Yeshua reigns supreme. May thy will be done by all means.
Awesome, yeah, my God is awesome. He took the loss upon that cross, no matter what they cost him. Awesome, awesome, my God is awesome, awesome, awesome. My God is awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, my God is awesome. He took the loss upon that cross, no matter what they cost him. Awesome, awesome, my God is awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, my God is awesome, awesome, awesome.
All right, that was Awesome by special request by Cooley the Nazarite. And again, you can reach him at his Twitter page, www.twitter.com/CooleyTheNazarite. All right, next up on the mic is Society Hill Music with God's Grace is Sufficient.
Thank you.
That was God's Grace is Sufficient by Society Hill Music. If you want to contact them, you can catch them at Facebook at www.facebook.com/Society Hill Music. Well, everybody, I've had an absolutely wonderful time with you. I love the people who listen live, and I love the people who listen later also. I want to thank Minister Kimberly Hovack, and don't forget to join us back on the 17th of March for her next segment. And don't forget, Wednesday night is Bible study with Elder Faye from 7 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can listen live or you can listen later. The point is that you need to listen and feed yourself the Word of God. Learn what God has said. Learn what Christ has said. And that's how you're going to make it through this world. Everyone, love, peace, and blessings. And I will talk to you later. We're going to roll out of here like we always roll out with Society Hill Music, How Great Thou Art. Peace and blessings, everyone.